January 14th, 2011, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Well, podcast number 90. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with the Lullabot team, including
Angela Byron
and
Nate Howe,
as well as
Jeffy,
also
Kent Bine,
and last but not least,
Joe Schindler.
You know, one day we'll come up with a better way of introducing our names, but it's good. You know, you get to hear everybody's, everybody says their name, and then you hear them speak throughout the rest of the podcast, and you kind of know who they are.
I don't think it's really going to be complete until we have, like, the Chicago Bulls, everyone running through a big sheet of paper and, you know, fireworks.
Yeah, we should.
Wait, that's not how you guys start podcasts?
Oh.
Yeah, Angie does that in her house by herself. Angela Byron.
It's what makes prepping for the video cast really time consuming.
So this is podcast number 90, Lullabot podcast number 90. We get together every so often, talk about Drupal. Sometimes, you know, it's every few weeks. I think it's been a little more than a few weeks. And I think on the last podcast that we did, we also said it was more than a few weeks, but you know, it's a little haphazard. We get together when we can. We like to get together.
We're busy making Drupal sites most
of
the time.
We have been really busy making Drupal sites. Yeah. But here we are, podcast number 90. And the big news is that Drupal 7 is out. It has been released.
Yay!
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations, Angie.
Yes.
Thank you.
And
congratulations to the, whatever it was, 955 other people that helped get it out the door, as well as all the other people who we don't know about who were helping on issues and stuff like that. It was probably over 1,000 contributors to Drupal 7, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people over the years, 3 years basically it took to release Drupal 7. So, yeah. So, but we're I think we're going to blaspheme on this podcast a little bit. We thought it would be good to have a podcast. Now that Drupal 7's out, we're really excited about Drupal 7 out, but we thought we would ask the question, is it really time to upgrade your sites to Drupal 7? Is it time to start building sites with Drupal 7? And I think as I went to Drupal 7 release party here in Providence, and Jeff Eaton had made this chart, basically with a flow chart, you would call it, right? Yeah, sort of about big matrix of when you should upgrade to Drupal 7. And I sort of casually mentioned it to someone in conversation there, and their eyes lit up and said, oh, publish that. I need that information. And we quickly sort of realized, like, actually, this is really important information. I think that there's a lot of us sort of developers on the inside are really excited about Drupal 7, excited that it exists. But from a purely like pragmatic, practical standpoint, it's like, okay, so should we start building on Drupal 7 now? Should we wait?
Should I upgrade my existing site to Drupal 7 right now?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And so we thought it'd be great to talk about that on a podcast. You know, not to be confused with you know, criticizing Drupal 7 at all. I mean, I think Drupal 7 is really amazing, but there's just some real sort of pragmatic needs that that should be talked about. So that's what this podcast is about. We had a couple of news items to quickly mention. First of all, Angie, who's here. Hi, Angie.
Hello.
Angie's moniker everywhere other than here where we call her Angie. She's Web Chick, and Angie is the Drupal 7 co-lead maintainer person. She and Dries were the people in charge of all the code that went into Drupal 7.
And
Dries and I are the boss of Drupal 7.
The boss of Drupal 7. That's right. Yes. And anyways, we're putting the boss on tour. We thought it'd be great to have Angie go around to a bunch of different cities. And we're doing these like 2-day seminars in each city. We're going to San Francisco, January 19th and 20th. Los Angeles, January 20th and 21st. Denver, January 24th and 25th. New York, February 17th and 18th. Washington, D.C., February 19th and 20th. And Atlanta on February 22nd and 23rd. And Angie and Joe, who's also here. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Are going to do these 2-day intensive seminars to basically get people up to speed with Drupal 7, understand how it works, understand... I don't know, upgrade paths and stuff like that. You guys want to talk at all about the curriculum you've been putting together?
Yeah, sure. So each leg of the tour, if you will be broken up into basically 4 different sections. There's sort of like an overview of what's new in Drupal 7 for people who aren't aware of that kind of stuff. We'll also focus on the site builder end of stuff, you know, what new things are you going to be doing when you build Drupal 7 sites, and also what's the upgrade path like for site builders. We'll also talk about theme development. We'll talk about the new and exciting improvements in Drupal 7 for themers, as well as what it's like to upgrade your theme from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7. And then finally, we'll delve a lot into the new API changes in Drupal 7 and talk a bit about field API, the new database layer, all that kind of stuff. And again, sort of covering both the new stuff as well as how to upgrade your existing code to Drupal 7, since, you know, we like to break backwards compatibility every major release. It's a lot of fun. So... yeah, so it's sort of a comprehensive, everything that you wanted to know about Drupal 7. There'll be lots of time for questions and stuff like that, too. So
yeah, Q&A time. I'm sure lots of people have lots of questions.
And although it's called the WebChick Tour, I don't want to minimize the fact Joe Schindler, Eaj the Brave, he did a lot of work on Drupal 7 as well, particularly around the new file and image handling features and things like that. So he's also extremely knowledgeable about stuff, too. So.
Cool.
And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, we got t-shirts printed up. We got a tour bus. No, we don't have a tour bus, but it would be fun if we did. And yeah, and if, I mean, for anybody that's going to DrupalCon Chicago, this is a great primer, get you up to speed with the version of Drupal that everybody's going to be talking about in Chicago. If you're not going to Chicago, it's a great way to sort of tap in and see what's going on. So... yeah, we're really excited, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
And also, best t-shirts ever.
Yes. Pretty much.
We'll just say that. Yeah, we'll just say best t-shirts ever.
You want to see the coolest Drupal t-shirts in the world? You want to make it to the website. I don't want to overpromise. Yep. I'm just putting that out there.
So we're also booked up and ready to go to DrupalCon Chicago.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Yes, I think my hotel room may have been booked in time that I get Drupal
pajama pants.
I found out. I was like, pajamas. It's like, no, pajama pants. Oh, okay, it's fine. I have enough Drupal t-shirts from every other event.
Exactly.
I've been to. I just need to finish out the outfit. Yeah,
I gotta say, I just have this mental image in my mind of like DrupalCon being like, you know, like 2 a.m. in my basement, sitting at the laptop working on code, just like walking to the kitchen to like fill up a mug of cocoa or something, and then just accidentally running into a bunch of other like module maintainers and going, oh, hey. We're all wearing pajama pants. Okay, you want to go have a boff? You know,
we should probably explain what a boff is for people who don't know.
Oh, yeah. Our guest is rated PG-13. Okay,
birds of a feather. It's where people of who want to talk about similar things get around a table and talk about those similar things. Not to be confused with. Anything else? Yes. So let's explain that. So DrupalCon Chicago is happening March 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Is that right? 4 days? Well, it says 7th through 10th. I think one of those days is a training day or a developer day or something like that. So I think there's 3 days of sessions, but I could be wrong. Anyways, get there before the 7th and leave after the 10th, and you'll have a good time in Chicago. But for DrupalCon US this year, they've just booked an entire hotel. So basically every room in the hotel, all of the conference rooms, all of the hotel rooms are all for DrupalCon. Chances are there's probably some like old lady, you know, and like this old couple that booked it like, you know, 3 years ago for something they were having, and they'll be there. So it'll be like all of Drupal and like a couple old ladies who are
really, really confused people.
Yeah, exactly. They're there to
but
go.
But they will leave Drupal programmers, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You over there, you look confused by field API. Get in here. But I'm on vacation. No, get in.
I just want to go to the museum. Yeah. Anyway, so, but yeah, it's going to be huge. How many, anybody know how many people are expected?
I know that they were like gunning for somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 in terms of the attendees, and I think the hotel is supposed to have something like 1,200 to 1,500 people in it. I mean, so hojillions.
Hojillions, yeah.
There we'll find out what Drupal smells like. It's gonna be awesome.
There were over 3,000 people in San Francisco, so this should be at least that.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Man.
Seems to be growing.
It just keeps getting bigger faster than my ability to imagine.
And it has grown exponentially. There were 1,500 people-ish in D.C. and 800 people-ish in Boston the year before that. 300-ish people the year before that in Sunnyvale at Yahoo. I happen to know these things, I guess. So, yeah. Anyway,
so they're not expecting like 5,000 to 6,000, another doubling.
I don't know.
No, I think the venue caps at like 4,000 or something like that.
So, point being, book your tickets now, folks.
Yes.
You can go to Chicago2011.drupal.org. Chicago2011.drupal.org, and find out a whole bunch of information about the conference and stuff like that. Most of us on this podcast will be there speaking. Kent, you'll be there speaking to people and recording a whole bunch more Drupal Voices podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah. So that should be a whole thing. All right. What else? One more thing. Drupalize Me. We've got Drupalize Me. We did the last podcast. We talked about how we built Drupalize Me. We've got a whole bunch of new videos that we've put up on Drupalize Me. We've been recording a whole bunch of Drupal 7 videos. We put up a Drupal 7 overview video, and that's up there now. And we've got more Drupal 7 videos in the pipeline. Drupalize.me for more information about that. So, okay. So, should I upgrade my site to Drupal 7?
Yes, no, baby.
Can I ask you a question first?
Please, ask me several.
How important is your site to you?
What a loaded question.
No, that sounded mean. No, I mean, I upgraded two of my sites to Drupal 7 when it was in like release candidate 2. It's not that like your site will like, you know, explode in flames and die. It's not that, you know, oh my gosh, Drupal 7 is broken and, you know, it needs time to get finished or something like that. It's not any of those things. It's more just Drupal core is now out, but most sites are actually built with a large collection of modules and a lot of different techniques, and we're still in the process of just making sure that all those pieces are together. And some of the really high-profile modules, like CCK is part of Drupal 7 now, and Views has a release out that's really very usable, but I think it's still, I think it's either an alpha or a beta release. and I think Organic Groups is still under development. There are a lot of modules out there, but in Drupal, there, especially like with the most more recent versions, there's more like sort of a chain of different modules that you end up using. Like you build with views in CCK, but then there's also all of the modules that provide custom field types. And then there's the custom display types for views, because you not only want to build a view, but then you want to have it displayed in a certain way. And then there's a plugin for the particular jQuery library that the slideshow module that's built on top of views works with. And that whole chain of modules has to be upgraded for it to be in a place where you can just flip the switch and say, go! So unless you're willing to dive in and wrangle with like actually testing upgrade patches and stuff like that, and you know, tinkering with some of those things that aren't quite there yet or built on top of the things that have just gotten upgraded, it can be dicey. If you're willing to do those things, you know, it can be good, but you know, you have to be willing to realize that it's just like, you know, Drupal 7 itself launching is not the be-all and all of your site being ready to, you know, achieve the singularity or something.
Well, so to some extent, I mean, you know, there's that if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality, or maybe it's this. I keep seeing people talking about Photoshop. They're like, I got the new version of Photoshop. It does exactly what the last version of Photoshop did. It has a whole bunch of new features that I don't use, and I use the same things that I used 8 years ago. And, you know, and I don't, you know, it's really difficult with Drupal being free and all of the wonderful work that went into Drupal 7 to then say, yeah, but I don't need that. But you know,
well,
like if a site is working, then there's, you know, that question of like, okay, it's working, it's functional now. I guess the question that I have for you all is, what are the things in Drupal 7 that are really that make it different? I guess first of all, what are the differences, and then what are the particular advantages that people get out of Drupal 7 and potentially upgrading?
Sure. I can talk a little bit about that. So one of the big things, it's not quite analogous to your Photoshop example, because I agree, like in Photoshop, you know, all of the new stuff that they put in there is like for advanced people only, and I would never actually use that stuff. But there's an awful lot that's in Drupal 7 now that is fundamentally impossible to do in Drupal 6 and below, which are actually really useful. For example, this whole concept of entities that made it into Drupal 7, and the fact that nodes and users and comments and taxonomy terms and stuff like that are all sort of the same concept of an entity that can have fields attached to it. That's going to have profound implications both in contrib and elsewhere, in terms of a site building kind of point of view sort of thing, where people can declare their own stuff as entities, they can put fields on their stuff, and they build their functionality in a field as opposed to a node edition module or a comment edition module where it's limited to only using that kind of stuff. So that's one area where, and I think we're starting to see some of that potential. There's a new e-commerce platform called Drupal Commerce that's being developed that's all about this sort of methodology, and that definitely will not be available in Drupal 6. There's also a module called Media that builds on top of the image and file handling capabilities that were not in Drupal 6, that are only in Drupal 7, and that again will only be a Drupal 7 module, and it's sort of an integrated kind of multimedia management, you know, sort of like sticking inline images in and embedded YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff. So there's an awful lot there that the actual core framework of Drupal being so improved as it was in Drupal 7 is going to enable all kinds of stuff for contrib. So,
and I also want to say, I mean, that has major implications too, because there are situations where stuff, new advances in Drupal 7 mean that the way you do certain kinds of things is just different. If you were all like totally on board with things like content profile module to, you know, allow people to use custom content types with custom fields to fill out their user profiles in Drupal 6, in Drupal 7, you can just put those fields on a user, which is awesome if you're building from scratch, but it raises interesting questions of how you should handle an upgrade from a Drupal 6 site to Drupal 7 site. Do you try to wait for a port of content profile module, or do you try to figure out how to move those fields from your old content type for profiles to the user account directly, when the actual way you approach certain problems has changed? I think those are areas where, you know, treading carefully and thinking through how you want to tackle that is going to be one of the really important parts of the upgrade process.
So there's going to be a lot of sexy new modules using a lot of these sexy new APIs. And so that's something that, you know, there's going to be that sort of feeling of being left behind.
Yeah. There, each release of Drupal, maybe with some context there would be helpful, because I don't know how many people listening to this podcast have actually been through a Drupal release before, since the community's probably doubled, but, you know, since Drupal 6 came out in 2008. But so basically the context around this is that each major version of Drupal, once it gets released, then the next version, so when Drupal 6 came out, Drupal 7 opened, for developers to add new features, to change whatever they needed to change. Like, it's basically, it builds out this pent-up energy where people just want to, like, make Drupal more awesome. And the rule is that, you know, once we finish with a code thaw cycle is what we call it, then we lock it down so we can fix all the bugs and get it out ready for normal people to use, not crazy core developers to hack on. So you know, when Drupal 7 opened for features, there was this huge pent-up energy of, oh, there's all this stuff we got to just fix it, you know, and kind of stuff like that. And so that's where you saw some of the improvements, like a new database layer come out of, and you saw things like a bunch of usability improvements come out of that, and you saw, you know, things like, you know, all the stuff that made it into Drupal 7 came into that. And then we go into what's called a code freeze cycle. In the case of Drupal 7, it was sort of a code slush and then a code freeze. But the code freeze basically means, okay, no more features. We're not adding more stuff. Now we're just really polishing the stuff that's already in there. We're fixing bugs and we're removing critical issues and that kind of thing. And then we release once that's done. But between 6 and 7 and between 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, core developers are basically given free reign to do whatever they want. Because this is a volunteer-driven project, it's something that we need to keep, you know, the people who work on core intellectually stimulated, having fun, sort of innovating in their own ways on things that they really want to see happen. And some of that stuff is moving key core or key contrib modules into core. Some of it's kicking out core modules. Some of it's refactoring the way certain things are done or whatever. But the bottom line is that we throw out the idea of backwards compatibility from an API perspective. So, for example, the database layer in Drupal 7 is all object-oriented. Any code that was written that touches databases in Drupal 6 has got to change for it to work in Drupal 7. And that's a pain in the butt if you are, you know, someone trying to upgrade your site. But on the other hand, it means there's not all this legacy cruft sort of keeping us still working with the old, say, Drupal 4.6 version of the form API, for example. And it also, you know, means that, you know, we can innovate faster. We have all these tests that are going to tell us, you know, if things are broken in the future and that kind of stuff. So that's the first thing, is that we don't do API backwards compatibility, although we do data backwards compatibility for core, meaning that if you had, if you were using some core module, there's an upgrade path for getting, like, say, your nodes in Drupal 6 to be nodes in Drupal 7. So that's sort of the context there. So we break API compatibility. We don't break data compatibility, with a little asterisk next to that that says as long as you're in core, because all contrib modules are responsible for getting their own data upgraded. And one of those modules that was in contrib is CCK. So that's an interesting little discussion we can have about the CCK upgrade path. Anyway, yeah.
So there's still we're still seeing some stuff sort of sifting, settling out, you know, particularly in, well, in contrib. I mean, the core has been tested up the wazoo. There's, you know, simple test functionality, and there's been it's been 3-year development cycle. When did the first Drupal 7 alpha version come out, Angie?
That was in January of 2010.
Right. So we've had a year that we've actually been through the alpha and beta cycle. So it's a, you know, Drupal core is very stable.
Well, and it's also important to note that this is the first version of Drupal that's come with really comprehensive automated tests baked in. That actually is one of the things that contributed to the much longer release cycle. There's something like, 14,000 automated tests that were written for Drupal, and just
we're
core.
Up to 30,000 now. Oh,
30,000.
So yeah.
Okay, so I mean, that work doesn't come for free. So the development community in Drupal has also been building all of these tests. And while obviously automated testing doesn't mean you never have bugs and you never have problems and there's never design flaws, it also means that there's... I would probably say that Drupal 7 at launch, Drupal 7.0, is probably about as stable as Drupal 6.4 or 6.5 was, just because a lot of the edge case stuff that we were relying on really dedicated testers to catch in the Drupal 6 cycle, now automated tests catch those, and even tiny patches that get submitted for Drupal 7 automatically have all the tests run and red flags get thrown if any one of those tests break. It doesn't solve everything, but in terms of just the baseline stability of using the product, there's far, far fewer accidental, oh crap, no one checked aggregator modules, you know, edge case feature before we actually rolled this version. That stuff is not happening as much. So that's one thing that is a really big win to take away from. It's not so much the, well, never use a 0.0 version of Drupal because, you know, they're still going to be ironing stuff out. It's less that and more about the module upgrade cycle.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's been a whole week since it came out. We haven't had a 7.1 version yet.
Part of that is that Angie has been playing video games and doing other things that aren't committing crimes.
Angie's been celebrating, slacking off after 3 years of sitting at the computer.
Yeah, I mean, we'd found a couple of issues with the upgrade path, but nothing that's like, oh my god, this will destroy everything in the world. And I guess file uploads are broken in IE8. Meh. Anyway, so...
So, yeah, still some issues, but, I mean, it's a very different situation in terms of, you know, concern about whether or not the 0.0 version of this release of Drupal is stable or not.
Right. So let's get back to the question. I mean, so what are the advantages of upgrading? I mean, we've got all these new features. There's to some extent this feeling of being left behind because there will be these new modules that'll come out and do new things in new cool ways. However, I mean, for people that already have a site, the upgrading to that new method, let's just say a new way of image handling or media handling or something like that, there might not be a very direct upgrade method. It's going to be really fun for building new sites.
Well, as long as the pieces you need to build your site are ready.
Yeah. But it's there's two questions there, right, Jeff? There's like, what do you, you know, should you start building new sites on Drupal 7 right now? And should you upgrade existing sites? And if so, when kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And they're sort of two different things.
They are. So let's talk about both of them.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the new site first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. That's nice and clean.
Then you're not worrying about all your data and your users and your whatnots. And, you know, you have your existing site running fine, but you get a new contract today. What do you do?
How big's the site?
It's
big.
Grammy.com.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's I couldn't handle that.
No, but yeah, there's different answers to that, right? There's like, so let's say you get a contract for kind of a $1,000 or less little microsite for a small business. And what they need is they need a blog, they maybe need a product catalog, they maybe need a contact form and some other stuff.
Right, brochure kind of site, right?
Yeah, maybe a little fancier than brochure site because, you know, you can do a brochure site in Drupal 7 as of like 2 years ago. You know what I mean? But, mm-hmm. you know, say it's a little fancier. It's got a product catalog, maybe a couple other things. So you do need views. You need CCK fields. You need a few other things. That you could totally build right now. You'll run into a few bugs with the views module, but you could help fix those bugs if you run into them. And that kind of thing. So that kind of thing would be fine. If it's also, if it's a site, like let's say you were building a kind of a bigger site and there's a huge data migration component of this, say, and you're pulling information from an Oracle or a MS SQL database or something like that. Again, you might want to go with Drupal 7 from the feature set point of view because Drupal 6 can't do that. Not without pulling it into MySQL first and, you know, doing a bunch of horrible stuff with that. Also, if your launch date is out far enough, so let's say that your launch date was, say, mid-2011 or later, even if all the modules aren't ready yet, you might still want to go with Drupal 7 because the thing to realize about the Drupal community is that in addition to breaking backwards compatibility between major releases, they also only issue security patches for the current release and one release previous, which means that the day that Drupal 7 came out, so January 5th, 2011, Drupal 5 is officially end of life and we're not supporting it anymore. So if you have Drupal 5 sites, you should be panicking right now and getting those off of Drupal 5. So you're going to hit the same situation with your Drupal 6 sites when Drupal 8 comes out, unless the policy changes, which, you know, it's hard to change that policy, though, because, like, everybody who works on this stuff does it for free, and you're already asking them to...
I will say that, you know, Drupal 6 hitting end of life is a long-term planning consideration. I mean, that's not going to happen earlier than a couple years from now.
No. But it does mean that if you build on Drupal 6 right now, you're going to have to do a Drupal 6 to 7 upgrade within the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And if you can just build it fresh on Drupal 7, you can avoid that. And then your upgrade path is more like 3 or 4 years away.
The end of life, I mean, how dire is that? I mean,
are you a programmer or are you just someone who clicked a Drupal site together?
Right.
That's really what it comes down to, because patches for solving the problems are still released for Drupal, whatever Drupal versions there are. And if you're a developer, there's nothing to stop you from saying, well, I've got Drupal 5. I can look at the patch for Drupal 6 and, you know, look at the same chunk of code that's doing the same thing in Drupal 5, and I can figure out how to apply that patch to Drupal 5. You know, sometimes that works. Sometimes it's in an area that's changed enough that it doesn't work. But, you know, you can maintain an older version of Drupal for a little while. It's not like, you know, immediately, you know, red lights go off and all of your, you know, locked doors pop open and, you know, and immediately it posts on Craigslist telling thieves to start taking your furniture. I mean, you know, that's not what it's like.
It's equally as secure as it was, you know, when exactly. It just will continue to be that secure. And if there's an exploit...
Exactly as secure as it is right now.
Right. Right. But to some extent, I mean, it's a sociological problem. it's sort of, you need to look at the group that is the Drupal developer community and where their focus is. So in the same way as, when you're building a site, another, you know, tip I would say to people is, you know, look at the popularity of a given module when you're installing it and sort of weigh that out. Is it you and six other people in the world that have this installed on their site? Like, and you're expecting the developer to upgrade it to Drupal 7, you know, last week? Like, it might not happen. There's just not that much incentive purely from a just like inertial momentum kind of thing. Whereas a module that's being used on lots and lots of sites, you know, there's a higher percentage that one of those people who are using it and or the developer might feel motivated to, you know, create the upgrade and,
right.
And move things forward. And then, conversely, as you start to get into older versions, you're using Drupal 5 and the Drupal 5 versions of things, and your client comes to you and says, hey, we want to add X bit of functionality. Let's say 5-star ratings because we happen to have some 5-star
five version of voting API has been end of life now.
Right.
And yeah. Like as of this week, I'm no longer doing any kind of support for version 5 of voting API because it's for Drupal 5. So, I mean, modules are going through that same cycle too.
Yeah, and particularly like adding a new technology to an old version of Drupal. So if you wanted to add RDFA compatibility with your Drupal 4.6 site. You know, like, you know, so there is
I've
that.
Considered Python.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. That kind of a thing. I mean, it's really more than like, you know, you need to look at it as this sort of psychological, sociological momentum of the crowd, the community, in terms of, you know, making a lot of those decisions.
I think one thing that we haven't necessarily talked about too is this idea that if you're building a new site, you know, go with Drupal 7 or, you know, whatnot. I think that the more recently a version of Drupal has come out, the more critical it is that you plan out or that you have a really clear idea of what functionality you're going to need, because that sort of baseline assumption that you can usually walk into Drupal with, that somebody out there has made a module that does X, I can drop that in. The earlier you are in the release cycle for a given version of Drupal, the less likely it is that that module is out for the new version. So yeah. You need to think, oh, well, I need commerce, I need a shopping cart where I can sell things, and I need to have, like, you know, groups that people can join, and I need views, and I need CCK, and, you know, stuff like that. Well, you know, those modules are out there, but there may be like a 2-month lag time before all of those features that you assume you just get with Drupal are all on Drupal 7. So it may be that you want to build on Drupal 7, but have a very clear idea of what features you're going to be needing, and keep watch on those modules that you're going to be relying on for those things to make sure that they're all in place by the time you need them.
The funny thing, you say the earlier that you are in the release cycle, but I also feel like it's the later that you are in the release cycle, things fade out as well. Things are going to start fading out for Drupal 6. Things have faded out for Drupal 5, you know. And so there's just that aspect. I mean, there's really that, like, sweet spot. I would say that the sweet spot, my sort of gut feeling on it, is about 6 months from when the new version of Drupal is released until the next version of Drupal comes out.
I would agree. That's exactly the pattern that Drupal 6 followed. There was this, like, you know, maybe half a year where there were still enough people finishing up stuff that they'd been working on for Drupal 5 and stuff like that, that new projects were still being released against Drupal 5, and some new stuff was out for Drupal 6. But then that petered off, and it was clear that everybody was dedicating their energy to Drupal 6-based projects.
And I should say, I mean, we at Lullabot tend to be very conservative when it comes to this kind of thing. There are a lot of Drupal shops out there who have been building on Drupal 7 for almost a year now. And I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to this podcast who will disagree, and we encourage you to comment on the podcast. But I don't know, that's sort of where I'm feeling. And maybe 6 months is too conservative for Drupal 7. Maybe it's 3-4 months now. But you know, just in terms of, like, playing it relatively conservative and safe, you know, I think that saying, hey, if you're not going to launch until the summer, definitely go for Drupal 7. But if it's sooner than that, you may want to look at the scope, how big the site is, and consider that.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of the shops that have started building on Drupal 7 already employ one or more core developers. Which helps, because they understand the architecture, they're in bed with the community, they can get answers to questions that they need and that kind of stuff.
Well, we employ
I know
several core developers as well.
But I'm saying, like, of the people who have started building, most of them fall into that category.
Yeah, I think the idea is, if you start building on Drupal 7 very early, or like if you were building on it 6 months ago, the requirement for that is you have developers who are really, really familiar with the deep internals of Drupal and are willing to tackle the work of doing contrib module upgrades as it's necessary, and you're willing to actually allocate hours for the upgrade-related work that ends up becoming a part of that. If you have those resources and you want to do that, then, you know, not only can you build on Drupal 7, you can also gain tons of karma because you're helping out the other people who are sort of waiting for that stuff to happen.
Mm-hmm. So
think the difference between, like, 6 months ago and now is that the first requirement you mentioned, where you have to have developers familiar with the deep internals of Drupal, that's no longer really necessary, because it's stable now. It's not changing, like, periodically and, oh God, we just synced from head and we have to redo everything. Ah, you know, but you do definitely need either to be able, what you need to do is do an assessment of here's the features that we've got. Here's the modules that seem to do what we want, and this is their readiness level for 7 right now. This one has a stable release, this one has a dev release, this one hasn't even been started yet, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, I would say it is definitely a good idea to have a developer on hand who can fling around PHP, because they can use a number of the tools the community's developed to like do an initial pass at the upgrade path, but there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some fussing manually to test all that stuff and get it ready. But yeah, I don't want to like try, like we have a lot of people that listen to this podcast. Some of them are, I click together a pointy clicky thing. And if you're telling me that like if I download a module and it doesn't work, I'm going to be completely screwed. Yeah, you probably don't want to build on Drupal 7. But a lot of our listeners are like, you know, technical people. They're programmers. They're, you know, people for whom they should probably build on Drupal 7 and, you know, help us out.
Well, there's another aspect of it, which is also sort of the documentation and, again, this just sort of like, I don't know what the word would be, just sort of critical mass, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, DrupalizeMe, you know, oh, that's great. Well, if they're having trouble with this, we've got lots of videos there that they can go and watch, although most of them right now are about Drupal 6. We're hard at work doing a whole bunch of new Drupal 7 videos, but they haven't been done yet. And so, you know, for people particularly who are not coders per se, you know, not, you know, less techie, there is that just sort of waiting till the path is a little more well-worn. There's documentation out there. There's people you can ask. There's a lot of people, you know, sort of this critical mass of information out there. About that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I should also point out that there are the companies like Examiner.com that have been sort of working on a couple of fronts. One from the scalability perspective of, you know, developing all this tools to be able to run a MongoDB backend with a new database abstraction layer in Drupal 7. But they've also been, Tag 1 Consulting has been helping out a lot with that. So they've been sort of helping file core patches and sort of get Drupal 7 ready to be able to even actually do that. And then there's like the other aspect, which is like the coder module and the grammar parser module, which I think they sponsored in part to help in the upgrade process, because there's so many API changes and things that are different that the grammar parser is really quite amazing in being able to like scan through the code and automatically kind of like update a lot of the API functions and make suggestions if they can't change it itself. So, but a lot of that work was done, sponsored by Examiner, because they've been working with Drupal 7 for so long. They sort of hired, Jim Barry, Solo Tandem on Drupal.org to help develop a lot of those tools. And so now that they've done that, there are a lot of tools that are available to help other people sort of with that upgrade process.
Right.
Yeah, and that's actually, I mean, for those listening, if you haven't seen it, I think it's, I know the word Boomba Tower is in the URL, but we'll just paste the URL into the podcast right up. That tool is actually online. You know, you can take a zip file with your existing module code for Drupal 6, upload it, it will go through, parse it, identify known API changes, and output a first pass at a Drupal 7 port with comments left in the code saying, oh, you're going to need to change this. You're going to need to do some manual work on this portion.
It's a pretty darn good first pass. Nate recorded a video for DrupalizeMe. We haven't put it up yet, still in the editing process, but it's really cool showing that, you know, upgrading module to Drupal 7.
I really like the fact that it's like a web service now. So like previously you'd go and download Coder module and then have it on your site. And you can still do this. And it makes it on the modules page. You can just drop all your Drupal 6 modules into your Drupal 7 site, even your custom ones that, you know, maybe nobody else will ever see but you. And it gives little like links there, and you just click on it and it says, oh, I'll just upgrade this module for you, essentially. As a web service now, essentially you upload a zip file, or I'm sorry, a tar.gz file, to the website, and then it converts it for you and sends it back to you and says, okay, here's the new module, And here's a patch with all the individual changes, and here's a text file sort of enumerating the number of changes and things like that. I mean, just, yeah, as a web service and as a tool for getting yourself onto Drupal 7, it's really just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that- I think it's probably worth pointing out, though, that it is just a first pass thing, and if you're not a developer, you know,
right,
you can't expect to go
Don't expect as a non-developer that you're just going to be able to download a Drupal 6 module off of Drupal.org and run it through this thing. It's
sort of like running a book through a book in a foreign language through Google Translate. You know, it's amazing and remarkable, and just really. Let's say running a legal contract. This someone sent you in another language through Google Translate. It's staggering what you can discover with that. But then again, you're like, am I actually signing away the rights to my liver? I can't really. You want to actually have someone who does know the language look at it before you actually say, let's go, it's ready.
Well, even to follow that out further, I mean, you know, it's been translated badly, and then it's up to you to kind of clean it up and make sure that it actually makes sense in the language.
It's profound and amazing, but it's also a first pass.
Yeah.
So don't confuse those.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think from what everybody's saying, I mean, the basic idea here is take a look at what you need to build. If it's a new website that you're building from scratch, take a look at what you need. If you've got, like, say, 80% coverage of the features you need that's available as Drupal 7 stuff, or looks like it's going to be available in the next, say, couple of weeks, you know, saying let's start building and let's start doing this in D7 is not a bad idea. You know, if it's, you know, some sort of completely under the gun, this needs to launch in, you know, 3 weeks and it needs to be perfect kind of thing, maybe, you know, maybe try D6 just because, you know, you're really under the gun. But like, if you've got a little bit of time to build it and you think that there's a good match with the features and the availability and what looks like is going to be happening over the next month or two in D7, I would say, you know, thumbs up.
So we talked about there being a version of views for Drupal 7, although it may be in flux a little bit.
It's views 3 for Drupal 7. It's,
yeah.
I'm using it, but, you know, it is alpha. It's an alpha release.
Okay. So that's something to consider as well. I mean, just looking at the you know, sort of big modules that are out there that some sites might need. Views, mostly ready. Organic groups, you said, maybe not quite?
No, I think that one's pretty good.
Okay, good.
Well, yeah. No, it has 1.0 release now.
Okay, all right. So maybe it's in good shape. Other modules. I mean, we talked about CCK mostly going into core, so it's not even an upgrade path.
There's three modules that were part of CCK that didn't go into core that you need to be aware of. Field group, which allowed you to take different groups and sort of pull them together into little chunks. So like on the node edit form, you could have, you know, all of the address fields inside their own little collapsible box.
Field set, yeah.
Field group isn't part of the core field API. And node reference and user reference module, which let you create fields that like pointed from one node to another node or one user to another user, those aren't part of the D7 field API in core.
There are versions of them out.
Right. Drupal 7 contrib projects have been made for those modules, but those are still like in the sort of middle ground zone. Like,
yeah.
User reference and node reference don't have support for views relationships yet. So you can make those field types, but you can't build some of the crazy types of views that you were able to in D6 yet. Mm. That stuff's in progress, but, you know, those are some of the examples of kinds of things that aren't 100% there yet.
Yeah, it gets back to that chain that Jeff Eaton was talking about where, you know, in order for views integration for CCK to be done, views had to get done, and so then references module had to exist, and then, you know, so it goes on like this. So currently, but references field group is also the field permissions module. Those have all been broken out into separate modules, and they all do have at least dev releases for Drupal 7.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like stable releases that you can just like go build a site right now, yeah, not quite yet.
File field, Image
built-in
token
image field. Image field, actually, there's some issues with the upgrade path. I don't know if Joe or Nate wanted to talk about that.
Well, the upgrade path for data is a whole, is, I mean, that's that.
We're
that's
talking about new sites right now. We're, talk about
we're keeping it clean.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no, we should start to get in a token.
Token is now built into core.
Wow.
The core functionality of Token is built in, but there is still a contrib project called Token that adds support for things like tokens based on field API fields and a nice little like drop-down browser for tokens. And I think it also supports things like autocomplete for fields that support tokens. Hmm. So there's additional stuff, additional nice stuff about around tokens that didn't make it into core that Token module is now in charge of.
Got it.
But the fundamental functionality of tokens that used to be in that module is now just part of core. So in D7, you're seeing a number of modules where things that went into core, like there's still a contrib project that handles certain trailing bits of functionality that didn't make it in, but the real meat of it is in core.
Image cache?
Built in core.
Fascinating. You know, I mean, it's really nice to have image handling in core.
It's amazing.
It really is. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that is one argument for starting with a new site. You can either download Drupal 7, or you can download Drupal 6, an image API, an image cache, an image field, a file field, and CCK, and I know I forgot one of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, ta-da!
Yeah. So, big particular modules that are not Drupal 7 ready as of the recording of this podcast?
I mean, panels probably isn't ready. Panels was one of the latecomers in Drupal 6 as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know date and calendar have some sort of dev release type of thing. I'm not sure if they're 100% working yet.
There is an alpha release. As of, I think, 2 days ago, there's an alpha release of panels for D7. But again,
nice.
It's an alpha release. So, you know, as with, you know, other stuff, it's take a look. Take it for a spin, and you know, keep a watch on the issue queue if you start building with it.
Yeah, I feel like with e-commerce, sort of big e-commerce. Well, in Drupal 6, the big e-commerce package was UberCart, and now we've sort of got this split between UberCart and Drupal Commerce. But UberCart for Drupal 6 is definitely well-worn path with lots of modules and lots of support and lots of people working on it. Drupal 7.
And there is a Drupal 7 version of UberCart as well.
Yeah, and Drupal Commerce, there's an alpha version, but neither of them are quite like full-fledged, as I would say, well-worn path. And particularly when it comes to e-commerce, you want it to be well-worn path, you know, that's sort of like, it might be taking the money. I don't know.
Alpha testing your online store feels really dicey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a difficult one. But
Path Auto just got a release.
For Drupal 7?
Yep.
Nice.
Also, my awesome module update notifications disable now has a Drupal 7.
I was just asked if Eldorado Superfly will be getting updated. I don't think so.
See, that's where you really want to look at those module status. Even though it's a really, really cool module, you know, I just don't know that a whole lot of people were using it. Partly because it was called Eldorado Superfly.
There's that.
So a good way to
D7 release.
Yeah.
Well, then
WYSIWYG module has a D7 release. Webform module.
Flag this or did. I don't know if it still does. Nate, flag good?
Yeah, flag. Well, it has a release as much as Drupal 6 has a release for the 2.x version. So that's what happens when you start making a whole bunch of features mid cycle in Drupal 6. And when Drupal 7 rolls out, it's still not done. So it's coming out soon. But I mean, 2.x is more stable than 1. So yes,
if you liked Flag 2.0 in Drupal 6, you will continue to like it in Drupal 7.
Yeah, more people use the 2.x version than the 1.x version, even though 2.x still hasn't actually come out. So, I got an issue when you have launches like that.
One easy way to figure this out for your own site is if you download a module called upgrade status as opposed to update status that comes in core, upgrade status will give you a little report that tells you, you know, for all the sites or all the modules installed on your site, which ones either have stable releases, dev releases, or no releases for Drupal 7.
Right.
And so that's a good sort of first step when you're in the upgrade thing, which I guess we should start talking about upgrades.
Let's talk about that then.
Let's do that.
Even though we've been trying to avoid it on the podcast.
So, Jeff, do you have like one of those like you know, fill-in things? You can have like a sad cello or something like playing in the background? Like,
well, upgrading is hard.
It is.
It's, you know, and if you don't have a good, you know, either motivation or reason, you know, I mean, there is that thing where I'm saying like, you know, if it works, it works. And I've said this before, and every time I say it, I'm embarrassed, but Lullabot.com was running Drupal 5 when in 2010, like at the beginning, very beginning of the year, we were still running Drupal 5, but it worked. You know, it was a functional thing. We were getting paid to work on other people's websites, and we were focusing on that. And our website was, you know, doing just fine. It happened to be, you know, the previous version of Drupal. You know, and we didn't get around to upgrading it. And when we did, it was a big project. There's no way around saying that. I mean, lots of times, you know, when people are doing upgrades, I'll tell them, like, don't. Do like if you're going to do the upgrade or even lots of times when we're working with big clients and they're moving to Drupal from another thing, you know, it's like, okay, this is not a time to do a redesign. This is not a time to come up with new features and rethink your site and the whole way that it works. It's like, let's just do a one-to-one transfer, you know, because that'll be easy and straightforward to move one-to-one feature to feature, you know, from what you've got to Drupal.
And then that never happens.
Yeah, but it never happens. So you end up, you know, and what we did was a redesign and a rework and rethinking, and we rearranged all the content and everything like that, and it's a big upheaval.
But it looks damn sexy now. So
well, it's very rewarding to do.
Hot
diggity. Yeah, but now we're running Drupal 6 and we're entering into the same problem again. So.
Well, so a good thing to do on this note is, like, if you ever click on the usage statistics link on any project page, you can kind of see this little graph that shows who's using what. You know, and how many, and what versions of things people are using and stuff like that. It's interesting, like, when we were talking about how dead Drupal 5 is, last week, the number of Drupal 7 sites eclipsed the number of Drupal 5 sites.
Wow.
So, yeah. So Drupal 5 is pretty much dead as far as the community is concerned, as far as everything else. So, you know, that's another argument for moving off of it onto something. But, you know, what you see right now, if you look at any of those usage statistics graphs, is you see the Drupal 6 numbers are like way up into the stratosphere, and the Drupal 7 numbers probably don't even show up, or if they do, they're just like a tiny little line at the very bottom of the graph. But what you'll see over the next couple of months is those numbers starting to converge with each other. And then eventually what you'll see is Drupal 7 eclipsing Drupal 6 and going even further than that. Once that happens, you've hit that critical mass where you're going to start getting less support from the community on Drupal 6 because people are all going to be excited about Drupal 7 and, oh, I'm building new features for Drupal 7. And, you know, they'll probably still maintain their modules on Drupal 6 and do bug fixes and security updates and stuff like that. But you definitely aren't going to be able to, like, file new features and things like that. So, you know, that's the thing to watch for in terms of when you want to time your upgrades, perhaps, is once Drupal 7's reached that mass where those lines on the graph cross, that means that enough other people have been able to upgrade their sites to Drupal 7 that you should be able to do it as well, and you'll hit some things, but probably not.
And I would say, I mean, the step one for upgrading your site these days is going to be that upgrade status. I mean, go and look and see which, you know, when you've got all of your modules have Drupal 7 versions, then it's just a no-brainer.
Well, there's a second step that's very, very important, and that is, what about my data? Because we were talking earlier about how Drupal upgrades, they break API compatibility, new versions of modules have to come out, but we always migrate data forward. Mm-hmm. Four features that are built into Drupal core. That are, they're in Drupal 6, they're in 7, your data will get migrated from 6 to 7 as a part of the core update process. But out of the box, when Drupal 7 ships, that's just stuff that's in core. If you have data that's being done, you know, being put in by third-party modules, like, for example, CCK custom field types in Drupal 6, that isn't a Core 6 to Core 7 upgrade. So it gets more complicated, and you have to be aware of not just a module being out and a release version being there, but also making sure that the data upgrade path for those things that have been in contrib work correctly. Because contrib, while it ideally follows the same path, is a little, you know, it's fast and loose compared to core. So that's something that you need to pay attention to. It's, you know, you could find yourself in a situation if you don't pay attention where one of your key contributed modules set up, you know, two data tables in Drupal 6, but they decided to take advantage of some cool new features of Drupal 7 and they're doing it differently and they didn't bother writing an upgrade path. It has happened. I'm not saying that's the way everything is going to go, but keep your eyes open for that and make sure that the data upgrade path for your other stuff is out there too.
So look at the, you know, the project page, anything that is written on the project page about the upgrade path, read the README, look at the issue queue for those modules, and just sort of keep an eye out.
And, you know, also test it on a clone of your site.
Yeah, I mean, what I would start doing right now, actually, like there's no harm in doing this. Just grab a copy of your live site, throw it down on your local computer with MAMP or WAMP or whatever, and, you know, just experiment, you know, just keep it as a little side project when you're
just run the update and watch it explode.
Watch it explode, and then, you know, wait a couple of weeks, do the same thing, watch it explode again, but a little less explodey, and, you know, like that kind of thing, you know. But there's no harm in getting a lay of the land right now for your specific site,
right?
Because that will help you when you do get to that point where you want to actually do your migration, because there's this new awesome module that came out for Drupal 7 only, and it just blows away your mind, and you have to have it on your site. You will have some idea of like where these things have had problems in the past, and you can also help, you know, dive in and, you know, if you have a, if you can do a CCK export of, hey, when I use this field migrate module in CCK, it blows up on this multi-value field that happens to be a select box that's in a field group. You know what I mean? Or something like that. And you can help the developers to nail down problems with the upgrade path that way, so that when you are ready, it's a lot smoother for you.
This is like that one example that you mentioned is actually one of the really, really critical things to keep in mind if you're considering doing a relatively early Drupal 7 migration. Right now, the migration path for contrib CCK field types in Drupal 6 to field API types in Drupal 7 is not finished. Like, you can create field API fields in Drupal 7, but you can't just take all of your content type definitions, like with all the extra fields and stuff like that in D6, and just move that to D7. That code to do that particular migration is still going to live in the CCK module in contrib. And that's something that there are still bugs being ironed out in it. And there's still some complexities in terms of how it plays traffic cop for third-party field modules to do their upgrade. So it's being worked on. It's not being ignored. But that is something that you need to watch out for that isn't just part of the magical, awesome, you know, unicorns and butterflies aspect of the Drupal 7 update.
Right.
I feel like we've been very module-centric up until now. Let's talk about themes a little bit. I mean, because it's not just a matter of upgrading the modules. There's the whole other aspect of things. And mostly, you know, the other aspect is the theme. I guess there's the data as well, and we've talked a little bit about that. The data being the content on your site and configurations and stuff like that, the stuff that's stored in the database. But then the theme, the presentational layer, theming has changed some in Drupal 7.
Yeah, you might be able to keep your CSS from your Drupal 6 site. that's really about the extent of reusability between 6 and 7 when it comes to your theme.
I've actually done some real rough like migration of simple Drupal 6 to Drupal 7 themes, and at least to me, it feels like the big tipping point is like how much work you were doing in custom pre-process functions and how much craziness you were doing in your theme, because a lot of the craziness has changed. But there's a relatively straightforward set of steps if you were doing a pretty simple and straightforward theme, like mostly used the core markup, had CSS stuff, had maybe a couple of custom templates for like the page and the node types and stuff like that. That's not too daunting, but there's still stuff that you need to be aware of and need to go change.
Yeah. So the big change with the theming system is that instead of like print $ variable everywhere, your content variable in particular is a huge array now. And so you print render the chunk of the content that you want to appear in one place or another, which is great from a flexibility point of view. But it also means that if you have this 2,500 line, you know, my theme pre-processed page that was doing a bunch of that work, you probably need to kind of like sit there and, you know, ask yourself the question if it's worth like actually porting that or if it's worth just doing what you want in the template file directly now that you have the flexibility that you can do. And there's a couple of other things like the template file that used to be separated by template file suggestions that used to be separated by hyphen is now hyphen hyphen. As a performance boost, and also Joe, you were looking in this last night. It was like a performance boost, and it was also so that you can do node hyphen hyphen article.tpl.php without having to have a node in there as well. So there's a lot of nice improvements that way. But yeah, it's definitely not like oh, just change core equals to 7.x in your info file and you're done. You know,
right.
I think there's with like template files, there's a lot of things you need to keep in mind too. Drupal 7 has all of the RDFA stuff in it, and in order to take advantage of that, you're going to have to update all of your template files so that it's using the new variables that Drupal 7 is outputting for things like RDFA, and also the way that it handles classes and different attributes on elements is changed. So really, like any template file you have, you're going to have to go through the whole thing line by line and just make sure that the variable names are the same, that you're doing this in the Drupal 7 way instead of the Drupal 6 way. So it's not just a simple, like, plop your Drupal 6 theme in and change a couple things and it'll work.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's also, like, with the theme, you don't have to, we're not talking about migrating data or anything like that, so you can definitely upgrade your theme. It's just going to be work to do so.
Yeah. And there's a page on Drupal.org, drupal.org/update/theme/6/7 to convert your theme from 6 to 7. And there's it's a long page, but that's good. Lots of documentation about everything you need to do to upgrade your themes from 6 to 7. I haven't done this, but I know in previous versions of Drupal with both the module and theme upgrades, these pages were super helpful and basically explained everything I needed to do was somewhere on this page. and that was with the find command in the browser, it was comforting to know that it was all there.
And so this, now that we've talked about upgrades and sort of, you know, a bit about how, you know, harrowing they can be, it brings us back to the question of whether you should build on Drupal 7 or not. Because if you don't build on Drupal 7, then you need to go through this process at some point when Drupal 6 is end of life. So it really begs the question of, like, if your site is actually due in 3 weeks, you should probably build it on Drupal 6. If it's not, though, you might save time down the road not having to do this upgrade, not having to rewrite your theme again and stuff like that if you build on Drupal 7 out of the gate. So, food for thought.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's a real continuum, and ultimately people really need to make up their own minds about it. You know, it really depends on how techie you are, how much, you know, does it turn you on, the idea of upgrading a module from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7? Maybe it's fun. Maybe there might be a really fun aspect to build with Drupal 7 if there's new stuff that needs to be done. What's your timeline? What is your, how understanding is your client?
Maybe you want to start your own Drupal business that I upgrade Drupal 6 modules to Drupal 7 modules.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep you busy for another year.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I like that. On and on like that, you know, and then the timelines, the sort of scope, the, you know, how big, how complex is the site, how many different modules is it going to have installed. If you're creating a brochure site and it is due next week, yeah, you can do it in Drupal 7, great. But if it's got, you know, it's a brochure site with some e-commerce and it's due next week,
Well, I don't know if I want to build an e-commerce site in a week, but it could be done.
First of all, get a new client and then.
But yeah, but with that, you might want to go to Drupal 6 and tell them, yeah, let's upgrade this 6 months from now. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I mean, a lot of it is basically just how much breathing room do you have and how comfortable are you, you know, rolling the dice that everything will go perfectly for you in a very narrow window of time.
Yes. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, do we have anything else to say above and beyond that? I think we pretty
Drupal
well covered it.
Drupal 7 is pretty cool.
It's awesome.
I mean, this is the pragmatic conversation that isn't as fun to have as like the D7.
Well, and everyone you know, at some point, everyone's going to need to get their heads around it. It's awesome. And you know, we're just saying maybe not this week, maybe 6 months from now, you know. And I feel bad if there's someone it's like, because people go back and they listen to our archive of podcasts. I still get emails from people saying, I started with Drupal 3 months ago and I've listened to every one of your podcasts. And I'm thinking, like, we have podcasts like, you know, announcing like Drupal 4.7. It's coming out. We're really excited, you know.
I don't know about this CCK thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so this podcast will probably end up sort of obsolete as we say, oh, you know, be careful, Drupal 7, you know, and hopefully this podcast will be obsolete very soon. It's just a no brainer to start building everything on Drupal 7.
Yeah, I should say also that in the WebChick tour, we're basically Angie and Joe are going to be walking through the process of, like, you know, step by step upgrading some stuff, or, you know, just kind of walking through a lot of the changes and showing some examples and all that stuff. So if you are sort of all geared up to start like learning about it, then that's like a perfect opportunity to
and
do
everyone
that.
Everyone should start learning about it now. I mean, whether or not you're going to start building Drupal 7 sites today or 3 months from now or 6 months from now, it's great to get your head around it now, because you can start making those decisions in a much more educated manner. You can know what you're getting into, you can know what you're up against, you can know what the advantages are, you can tell your clients, all that kind of stuff.
And you know, don't upgrade this weekend doesn't mean don't think about it until 3 months from now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So, anyways,
admittedly, I upgraded last weekend. But,
uh-huh. Well, that's the Jeff Eaton is an edge case.
Well, I mean, and, you know, it, and it's a small.
We need
site,
T-shirts like, that say that
Jeff Eaton is an edge case.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways, well, so there you go. That's what we have to say about that. And we hope everybody who lives near San Francisco, LA, Denver, New York, Washington, D.C., or Atlanta, or would like to fly to one of those cities, will come to the WebChick tour and learn all about Drupal 7 from Angie and the opening act, Joe. So you're more like a backup band. It's like a Chuck D Flavor Flav thing going on. Yeah, boy. But those are happening. You can find out about those lullabot.com/events and find out more about the WebChick tour, and we'll hope to see people there. And Drupal 7, go Drupal 7. Woo!
Woo!
And DrupalCon.
Oh, and DrupalCon. Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, all kinds of things.
So, anyways. Cool. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.